Faith-based organizations, or FBOs, play an important role in the story of African development. In some countries, up to 70% of health services are organized by groups affiliated with churches or Muslim organizations. Some politicians seem nervous about the growing importance and influence of FBOs on a continent where basic healthcare is often non-existent and where foreign-funded groups act as a safety net between life and death for millions of people. Trevor Grundy reports.
When disaster strikes, a tsunami, an earthquake, a hurricane or civil war, faith-based humanitarian and relief agencies are often the first on the ground bringing water, food and shelter and medical care to the needy. It's hard to put an exact figure on the number of FBOs in Africa, but some of the best known include CAFOD Caritas International, Humanity First Germany, Norwegian Church Aid, World Vision International in East Central and Southern Africa, and Islamic Relief International, Al Hakim Foundation in Britain, Hindu Aid, the Lutheran World Federation, and World Services Muslim Aid are also active in different parts of the continent. Dr. Titilolo Banjoko is a healthcare manager with a clinical background. Over the last 13 years, she's successfully advocated the use of diaspora capital as a development tool in countries where governments fail to provide basic health, educational, or old age care.
Well, if the government is not doing it, somebody steps in to do it. And that's been the challenge, and has always been the challenge, you know, in terms of, you know, people. When the government doesn't do what it should do, then the faith-based organizations tend to step in and do that.
She says that the 2 million-strong Nigerian diaspora in Britain could invest in companies that support FBOs, which are usually funded by ordinary men and women who are members of some of the world's great faiths. Dr. Banjoko says that some African leaders are suspicious of FBOs, claiming they have some sort of Western or foreign agenda to undermine elected African governments. Verbal attacks on missionaries and FBOs were common in the 1960s and 1970s, not so common today. And criticism from the handful of leaders concerned shouldn't stop FBOs from speaking out and continuing their good work as a voice for the voiceless.
I'm not advocating for martyrdom, but if you believe in what you profess and you see things that are going wrong, well, and you call yourself a religious leader and you don't say anything, then there is a bit of a challenge to me. It's a dichotomy of things. Mm. And even across the world, everywhere, we do see religious leaders, you know, whether we agree or disagree with them, they will stand up and profess what they say and call it as it is.
Stella Mavaranyika is the London-based representative of the Zimbabwean Association. She says most people in her adopted country, that's the United Kingdom, find it hard to believe that basic services for the young and the old don't exist in many parts of Africa, including many blessed with massive mineral resources such as the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Zambia, and Zimbabwe, to name but a few.
A lot of things which happened in this country is done by the government. The older people are taken by care by the government. If you want to find the voiceless, the quiet, the downtrodden person in the community, you have to go through the church.
Progressio is one of the Roman Catholic Church's best-known FBOs based in Britain. Tim Aldred is head of policy and communications.
I think there is a sort of social welfare function that's very important in countries where state provision is not there. If you're a poor villager in Zimbabwe, then crops fail or your livelihood hits a problem. There's no state provision and there's no private provision to bail you out. It's in those kinds of circumstances where the churches have and continue to play such an important role of a sort of safety net of last resort.
Faith-based organizations have become vital parts of civil society, providing a substantial portion of care in developing countries, according to the World Health Organization. 5 years ago, the Geneva-based organization released a study which found that FBOs provide 40% of HIV care and treatment service in Lesotho and almost a third of all HIV/AIDS treatment facilities in Zambia. The WHO praised the work of the FBOs, but said that far greater efforts are needed to encourage greater collaboration between public health agencies and FBOs. Bishop Henry Konta is from Ghana. He presides over the Apostolic Congress of Great Britain. The bishop acknowledges that some FBOs, notably Roman Catholic organizations, have been criticized in the past for condemning the use of condoms on a continent where AIDS is so prevalent. Bishop Kontos says that anyone wanting to help develop Africa should first seek the advice of FBOs in order to understand the cultural and religious beliefs of local people. He says that in Ghana, many African leaders were educated at schools run by priests or imams, making them sensitive to criticism from religious leaders. He said that Christian missionaries had done much to improve the lives of ordinary Ghanaians.
Educationally, they provided a lot of the schools. They did a lot into the medical services, built the hospitals, some in fact even tackled farming. So these are areas they did very, very well, and we have to acknowledge that and give them the recognition.
In the Horn of Africa, a team of Christian, Muslim and multi-faith leaders have been working in conflict zones by supporting a peace process in the sub-region. With national budgets for development aid dwindling across Europe, non-government organisations, including those with a religious background, will play an even more important role in the future. Trevor Grundy, London.